I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM. Every Friday, or most Fridays at this time, we chat to Jake Shepherd. He's a director founder at Synthesis. And although we were going to talk about something else, Corona, COVID-19 has sort of taken over our world. And we thought to talk about the opportunities that this period presents us with. And of course, it's a time of anxiety. And of course, it's a time of fear, both economic, from a health perspective, fear of the unknown. There's many, many difficult parts of it, but it also does present an opportunity. And that's what I wanted to chat to Jake Shepherd about. Jake, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. Wonderful remotely to be in the offices.
Yeah. So are you working remotely?
I'm working from home at the moment.
Right.
And it's a transition all of us are having to make. I think we have to really realize that the nature of the world we live in is that we really are all the time surrounded by threats and opportunities.
Right.
I think the difference today is that we've sort of woken up into some sort of a dystopian nightmare where we're surrounded by threats of like viral infection and weakened healthcare systems. Eskom's not playing ball by constantly load shedding and leaving a thing with dark. And then there's just general and pervasive negativity,
right,
both, you know, within the home world and also in the business world. And what I actually thought about a poem recently that I learned at school. I thought I'd just actually just highlight a few lines from it. It's the poem If by Rudyard Kipling. So if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, and if you can meet triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. And I thought that actually encapsulated the way we need to really start thinking about this crisis and really saying, well, you know, there are loads of opportunities buried within a crisis. And, you know, personally, and as a business, Synthesis, so we learned many years ago that the way to tackle threat is really to see beyond the threat.
Jay, can I ask you to try and just see if you could talk a little louder? We're just struggling a little bit with the sound. So if you could, obviously it's imperfect because you're not in studio, but if I could just ask you to speak up a little bit. You were saying you were saying about lessons. Yeah, that's much better. Thank you.
Okay. So really, I suppose many years ago, we learned, you know, at Synthesis, we learned to see beyond the threats and to see the opportunities. So, you know, when cloud computing came out, we really thought, wow, our whole traditional software model is going to fall apart. But instead of, you know, just hunkering down and seeing the threat, we actually said, well, you know, let's embrace cloud computing. Let's become masters of it. And then, you know, you can beat your competition and you can actually become really competent. And you can actually then start providing a compelling opportunity. And so I think really what I want to just ask listeners to do is just to look beyond the threat posed by the current crisis and to see how we can grab the opportunities. But we can only really grab them, I suppose, if we are looking out for them and can seize them and see them for what they are, which is actually opportunities.
So how do we look for those opportunities at a time where, of course, we're feeling very anxious?
What is really common to all of us is the whole concept of the relationships that we have. And I think, so I want to just maybe focus on just that area of the relationships and say, well, let's look at the different relationships and actually see how we can strengthen them and make the relationships more resilient than ever, you know, through this crisis. So if you, like, for example, if you look at work relationships, so yes, we are going to work significantly harder at connecting with one another, because we can't just rely on bumping into each other at work anymore. And so there are a whole bunch of skills that we need in order to, you know, reach out and maintain distance relationships with us, you know, fellow staff members, and certainly with our clients as well.
Right.
And so what I'm urging everybody to do is just like reach, but just to tackle this opportunity and practice these skills of distance relationships. So, for example, let your clients know what you're working on and the challenges that we are overcoming on a daily basis on their behalf, and like provide regular email updates, and then you can follow them up with a call just to summarize. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually also use this as an opportunity to practice and perfect the art of distance working and working remotely with one another. And really use it as a way of saying, well, how can we work out what works and what doesn't? And really then say, all right, how do we address that? And just learn to work in a distance working sort of way. In other words, look at it as an opportunity to learn, because we're forced to learn. So let's use it as an opportunity.
I think what's important is to not assume that people know what you're doing.
Yes, don't assume. I mean, that's critical. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have to communicate, because obviously when you're sitting at work, everyone can see what you're doing. But as soon as that seeing is removed from the picture, you have to replace that seeing with something else. And that something else is communicating. And I think the other thing that we need to do is just be a lot more proactive. So start thinking about what your team members need in order for them to succeed. And then actually proactively just call them up, discuss it with them. And if they say, yo, great idea, then just deliver on it and do it. And then the other, another way of thinking about the situation is ask yourself the question, how do I show people I care, clients and colleagues that I care? And it's not just care about them as people, that's incredibly important, but also care about the work that I'm doing. So that's, you know, if you're looking at it from a work relationship mm-hmm. point of view. But I think home relationships are also going to be very difficult. And I think we're all seeing that. A lot of people I've spoken to have told me how difficult it is now that the schools have been cancelled and their children are home. And they're trying to balance a whole bunch of very, very difficult responsibilities, both as parents and as employees and as, you know, colleagues, etc. And they're trying to balance all of these things. I suppose the other thing, if you're a little bit of a cynic, you can say, well, husbands and wives are now at home together all the time. And that's also a challenge in itself.
Yeah, well, I'm worried that I'm not going to make it past lunchtime today. Either my wife or one of my kids are going to kill me. That's one of the reasons that I've been avoiding working from home. You know, it's not.
I have no doubt. So really, what you're seeing is that the whole regular cadence of, you know, going to work and then going home, you know, that's being disrupted. And so this disruption and this disruption of the normal rhythm of life actually puts a huge amount of pressure on our home relationships. So what I want people to do and what I suggest is that we really recognize these challenges and confront them as constructively as we can. So maybe what we could do is just have a sit-down discussion with the whole family and talk about how home life will be impacted by the situation that we're faced with. And then go about creating the necessary the boundaries. And then you can explain that mommy and daddy are home, but they have to work, and it's not as if we're all on holiday. So you can then like set aside work areas. So effectively what you can do is you can say, well, that particular work area, and obviously the ideal is some sort of a home office, but not all of us have the luxury space for a home office. But then still set aside a desk that is your work desk, and really create spaces which are work. And the other spaces outside of that area is then really considered to be home. And then try and help your kids learn how to do, you know, learn the skills of how to actually self-manage. So sit down with them and actually create a schedule for them. Because just remember, they're also trying to be at school and be at home. Mm. So try and sit down with them and create a schedule with them, and then use this as an opportunity for children to be given responsibility, so they can also grow and use it as a way of, you know, homeschooling responsibility is a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. So a lot of this talks to the fact that we need to learn to communicate clearly. We need to understand. We almost need to be very deliberate in anything that we're doing right now. And the one thing that I've noticed, and I put this question to David Abramson yesterday, a psychologist, is a lot of people are very tired. They're exhausted towards the end of the day. I know that I'm one of them, and more tired than I normally am at the end of the day. And I think a lot of it is not only around the worry about the situation, but also because almost every minute of every day we are having to make decisions that we wouldn't normally make. I can't put out my hand to shake it. How am I pressing that lift button? Have I washed my hands? We just simple things like that. Now then add the bigger decisions to it. Am I working from home? How am I going to do that? Is this going to, you know, the every aspect of our lives now for the next few days as we maybe settle into this new routine, hopefully temporary, requires a lot of thoughts.
Starting to feel like a lot of responsibility.
Yes.
Like it's too much responsibility.
No, not too much. Jake, help her.
So I think you're 100% right. There is a lot more strain, and I think it's because we can almost rely on our autopilot, part of our, our psyche. Mm. That part of us that actually, because it's a rhythm, we know what to do in every situation,
and
we've got our
think.
Planned routines. Mm. We don't have to get our conscious mind involved in decision making in every step. And now all of a sudden, you're looping in your conscious mind into almost every single decision that you're having to make. And I think that's exhausting. But I think it's temporary in the sense of if we're starting to work from home, there's going to be that initial exhaustion or that initial overhead of planning and managing our time and our day and getting used to the new normal. But I think as soon as we get used to the new normal, I think that exhaustion and that being overtaxed is going to start waning.
Yes.
So there might be other crises that come up in the interim, but
sure.
I do think that we'll be starting to set a new normal. And I think really the key to realize is we need to be really positive in saying, well, how do we mine out the opportunities so that we can set up our new normal for success so that we don't compound a difficult situation by then failing in this new normal as well. So that really speaks to, I suppose, the relationship we have with ourselves.
Mm.
Because if you think about it, going into the workplace forces a daily schedule. So you have to get up at a certain time. You have to get dressed, go to work. You have to change your commute to work. Changes your mindset from I'm going from home and going to work, and then your commute back goes, well, I'm going from work to home. And that transition is like almost baked into how you live your day. And this mindset change of, home to work and work to home is really, really important in trying to maintain a healthy work-life balance because it's actually on both ends. You might think, well, working from home is great. It's all play, but it's not. But on the other side, you might think, well, working from home means I never have an end time to the work that I'm doing and you get burnt out. So we need to actually just learn how to balance our lives in this new normal. So, what I'd recommend is that we explicitly just sit down and recognize how much of a challenge
right.
and how much self-discipline is going to be required for this period of time.
Right.
And then go about creating a personal schedule. We haven't necessarily always needed to create a personal schedule because we've had our almost baked-in schedule that we've grown into over the last while. Now it's going to change. So now be explicit about it. So define specific times you're going to wake up, times you're going to exercise, eat, work, learn, and play. So let's actually define those schedules and then actually say, and then use the psychological, use psychology as your friend. So if you're going to exercise, get into exercise clothes at a certain time of the day.
Right.
Even if you don't feel like exercising.
Right.
And then if you're going to go to work, change into work clothes.
Right.
And then when you've scheduled that your work day is going to end, transition out of that through some mechanism. So maybe you decide I'm going to end my work day with an exercise regime, or I'm going to end my work day by playing a computer game, whatever. and then get into home clothes and actually use psychological tricks so that you, at any moment in the day, you know what mode you're in and what area and space you're in. And I think we need to, you know, that's not, these aren't skills we've necessarily had to develop up until now, but I think now we have to. And then the next area is just measure how well we're doing. So maybe at the end of the day, just say, well, that schedule didn't quite work out for me because of the following things, and I need to, you know, I need to fine tune it and refine it. But do that. And maybe the schedule will be a bit better the next day. But it's really, you're trying to put together a schedule that's going to leave you being productive for work time, but not burnt out because you haven't managed to, like figure out how to actually stop work and come back home and actually divide up your time. What I've recommended to all our staff is actually just use this as an opportunity to build skills needed, you know, to work from home. And there are a whole bunch of courses that you can do about time management, working from home, online free courses, and do them now so that you can actually maximize the benefits from working for, you know, in terms of working from home.
Absolutely. The one, the caveat that I will say on that is if you are, responsible for work and homeschooling and, cooking and cleaning and everything else in your home, if you don't learn French during this time, it's actually also okay. because we're starting to see, Jack, we're starting to see a lot of that where people are saying, what happens if I don't come out with a skill, if I haven't learned to develop my own photographs during this time? You know what? Cut yourself some slack. And I think that's exactly what Jake is saying is understand what it is that the amount of change, what it is needed in order to make this successful. Jake, we are going to have to leave it there. It is 8:52. Thank you, as always, incredible amount of wisdom.